Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Alaikum, Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan, Wasiyake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Please close your eyes as you listen, as I recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. And as you do this, remember someone to whom you were close in your life who has died. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yishkadal v'yishkadash mirabo, Bomo divero kirase, Vayamlik malkase, Bekayakon uvio makon, Uvkayeda kol beis Yisrael, Ba'agalo uvizman, Koryev veimru omen. Yehe shmei rabo mevorak, Leolam uleome omayo, Yisbarak veyistabak veyisparar veyisromam, Veyisnase veyishadar veyisaleh veyishalal, Shmeidu kadsho beriku, Leolo minko berkaso veshiroso, Tush bekoso venekamelso, Da'amarom beomo veyimru omen. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo, Vekayim olenu veyal kol Yisrael veyimru omen. Ose shalom bimromov, hu yashe shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you very much. Now then, as you know, I have been teaching for over 2 months now on the Torah itself, the nature of the Torah, all the different kinds of Torah, the many faces of Torah, the many levels of interpretation in Torah, the reason for Torah, its function in revealing the name of God, in manifesting God throughout all of the universes, in this world, and in helping us here in the world of exile. And I've been doing this for over 2 months, and I haven't looked, but I think that it's somewhere like around 20 lectures, or 20 classes, shirim, classroom periods here that we have spent teaching on the subject. Well, today is the last day that I will be teaching for the foreseeable future on this subject. I will be wrapping this up today. And we will be starting on next Monday's class. We will begin to start teaching on the cosmogony of Lurianic Kabbalah. That is, how did the world and the theogony, God, come into existence or be manifest in the world, according to the Kabbalah of Isaac Luria and his students. And that will involve most likely a great many lectures. But beginning next Monday, in that lecture, I will try to sum it up in that one lecture. I will give an overview. I will give a summary of that. And hopefully it will be finished in one lecture, at the most two, the summary. And then after the summary, I will go back and teach in more depth on each one of the concepts in the Lurianic Kabbalah as it pertains to the creation of the world. And what man's function is in the universe, and what his relationship to God should be. So I'm hoping that you will attend these classes, and it's going to be very exciting for me to do this, and I hope it will be very, very interesting for you, and exciting for you as well. But today, I'm going to be finishing up doing the last teaching on the Torah. And I'll begin by reading a passage from a book called a treatise called Hesed LeAvraham, meaning roughly, translated roughly, into the mercy or loving kindness to Avraham, written by a Kabbalist who lived a long time ago, a contemporary, I think, of a period just after Shabtai Zvi, so this would be in the 17th century or early 18th century, named Avraham Azalei of Hebron or of Hebron. And I will read this to you and then we will discuss it. Again, this is from The Loving Kindness of Avraham by Avraham Azalei of Hebron. And here's what he has to say. And first of all, I must say where I'm taking this from is it's quoted with parenthetical additions to make it more understandable to the lay reader by the great Kabbalistic, the great scholar of Kabbalah of named Gershom Scholem. And it's in his book, his masterpiece, his great work, Sabbatai Sevi, the Mystical Messiah. It's found on page 320. And here's what the sage Kabbalist Avraham Azalei of Hebron has to say concerning the Torah. This is the mystery of the innovations of the Torah, which God will introduce in the future. For although the Torah is immutable, yet originally, when revealed on Sinai, it was presented in this material form, solely for the sake of the material world. But in the future, men will divest themselves of their material bodies and ascend to the mystery of the spiritual body which Adam possessed before the fall. Then they will understand the secret meaning of the Torah, as that which is hidden will become manifest. After the sixth millennium, they will attain to even higher degrees of spirituality, and they will understand the mystery of the Torah in its most hidden essence, which will then become manifest to those who seek it. This is the basic principle, The Torah was clothed in a material clothing exactly like man. As man will rise in the future from his material clothing to a spiritual one, so will the Torah rise above her material clothing and be perceived on increasingly spiritual levels. This clothing will last until the time of the resurrection. Then they, referring to mankind, men and women, will be completely pure, and they will understand the Torah according to its innermost clothing. But in the sabbatical year, that is the seventh millennium, they will rise to an exceedingly high degree, and so will the Torah divest itself of its material aspects, and its hidden countenance will shine. And the righteous will contemplate it in its spiritual essence. Yet the Torah is one and the same in the beginning and forever, and it will never change. Baruch Hashem, what beautiful, beautiful concepts and language the sage Avraham Azalei of Hebron has used there to give us a revelation which he himself received as a result of divine inspiration, the receiving the Ruach HaKodesh, from the Shekinah and the Holy One, blessed be He. And that He has written down and has been carried forward to us, handed down to us, to share with us, to instruct us to know what is to come in the sixth and seventh millennia. Now, what are the sixth and seventh millennia that are being referred to here? What's being referred to here are the Shematot. The Shematot, that means ages or cycles in Kabbalah. Ages or cycles. And just as there were 7 days in the creation of the world, Kabbalah holds that there are 7 ages or millennia, each to last 1,000 years or 10,000 years, depending on which Kabbalistic master interprets this. Okay, now obviously Avraham Azaleh of Hebron, he's referring to millennia, and a millennium, as we all know, is 1,000 years. And so he interprets the Shematot, each one of these ages, to be a millennium or 1,000 years in length. And that is the most common interpretation. Now, he speaks of the sixth millennium and the seventh millennium, or the sixth, what's the word that he uses here? Who's using this is not him. He uses years. He talks about the sabbatical year, which Gershom Scholem interprets as the seventh millennium. Now, that would be in accord with what the rabbis teach in terms of how old this world is. And whether you happen to know this or not, it may come as a great shock to you. Not everybody in the world uses the Gregorian Roman Catholic calendar by which we reckon time, which reckons the counting of years with the birth of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Now, and that would make this year 2007. Now, it should come as no surprise to you that the Jews don't go along with that. They were counting time since the beginning of the world, as recounted in Genesis, through all the generations. And according to their counting of time, the Judaic calendar, the current year is, and I'm embarrassed to tell you, I don't know exactly what a year it is, but it's 5,000 and something. It's 5,600 and something. We're in the sixth millennium. Okay? So that would be, in terms of what we're reading here, that Avraham Azaleh of Hebron is talking about. He says, in the sixth millennium, and he does use the word millennium here. Okay, we are in the sixth millennium. He says that we will begin to attain to higher degrees of spirituality, and we will come to understand the mystery of the Torah in its most hidden essence. That means that the Torah, the physical Torah that he talks about being the physical Torah, the material Torah, to match the material physical bodies of man, of mankind, will begin to reveal itself. It has secrets that are withheld from men. And it reveals only its physical material essence, which means the laws, ordinances, regulations, the 613 mitzvot, the regulations, the prohibitions, and the admonitions, the things that men are not allowed to do, and the things that they're required to do, the requirements and prohibitions. That's the physical Torah. The Torah clothed, the spiritual Torah, is hidden inside the clothing of the physical Torah. He says it, beginning in the sixth millennium, which we are in now. We are now in the sixth millennium. And it will begin to yield up its secrets and mysteries to those who search for them. And this is a reference, of course, to the mystics, the Kabbalists. the people who go beyond the adherence to the letter of the law, the persons who go beyond the degree of Jacob, he who holds another back, and take on the degree of Israel, Prince of God. And he says, but in the sabbatical year, that is the seventh millennium, they will rise, and that will be after the year of 6,000, okay, that's several hundred years from now. We will enter the seventh millennium according to the Judaic calendar. They will rise to an exceedingly high degree, and so will the Torah divest itself of its material aspects, and its hidden countenance will shine, and the righteous will contemplate it in its spiritual essence. Not everybody, but the tzaddikim, the righteous, will not any longer have to perform the physical Torah, adhere to the physical material Torah, and perform the practical mitzvot. Instead, they will adhere to the and meet all the requirements of God through the spiritual contemplation of the spiritual Torah. That is the pursuit and discovery of the secrets and mysteries of the Torah d'Atzilut, the Torah of the Tree of Life. Right now we're under the Torah of the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And that is the way we approach the Torah, is through the knowledge of the Tree of Good and the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. All right. Now, that's what he has to say about this. Now, I want to talk about this in a little bit more, explaining it from a teaching point of view. Okay, so that you don't have to be on the inside of Kabbalah. Okay, that you don't have to have studied for a long time. I'm going to lay this out for you in a kind of an abbreviated outline form here. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of coffee to assuage my parched throat. Excuse me, to soothe it. And now I'll get started on this. In this passage from his work, remember, titled Chesed LeAvraham, The Loving Kindness to Avraham, the great mystic Avraham Azaleh of Hebron discusses the redemption of the Torah. That's what that whole passage is essentially about, the redemption of Torah. You were probably saying, the redemption of Torah from what? And I would answer, from its fall and exile. And I'll go over that a little bit. Remember, we've been talking about this for the last four or five meetings, about the whole theme in Kabbalah of exile and redemption. It's essentially, it's a great Kabbalistic theme, and it's really focused upon by Isaac Luria and in his doctrines, and especially in the messianic zeal that comes toward which the ascetic practices of the Lurianic Kabbalistic masters devoted themselves to different acts of unification, Yehudim, for the purpose of bringing about, and especially the Hasidic masters who followed in the 18th century, starting with the Baal Shem Tov in the Ukraine, and those who followed him, including his great grandson, and I'm sorry, his name just escapes me right now. It must be early harbinger, early actions of senility setting in on me here. But it's not Nathan of Breslov. Just a second here, and I will get that, because that really bothers me. Hang on just a second. Okay, sorry about that. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. I just couldn't let that go. I had to recover that. Okay. And so there was this theme that ran through Kabbalah from about the period of, especially from the period of the Zohar on, because that was the beginning of years of great European persecutions of the Jews. In 1492, there was the great exile, the driving out of the Jews from Spain, and then following in a couple of years from Portugal, and then following in a few years after that, even from Italy. And so they were being driven out of those countries. The alternative was that they had to commit apostasy. They had to convert to Catholicism. And many just would not do that. And they left behind everything, lost everything. And so there were great persecutions. And they really got started around that time and picked up steam all the way up through until even the period of 1648, when the great massacres of the Chelmensky, the Cossack leader, who was trying to throw off the yoke of the Commonwealth of Poland and Lithuania in Ukraine, massacred with his armies, massacred entire towns and villages of Jews, estimated to be 100,000, and left their bodies lying in the streets, hanging from trees, let animals eat them, drove horses over them. And so there was this great and growing looking and yearning on the part of Jews for the coming of the Messiah in the last days. Okay, so there's this theme of exile and redemption, and of course the coming of the Messiah would be the redemption, right? And of course all of the trials and travails of the Jewish people would be a part of the exile. Okay, the persecutions. All right. Now, what has this got to do with the Torah, the redemption of the Torah from exile? Well, from its fall in exile. Remember this, okay? All the worlds, and there were four worlds, actually five, but I'm going to say right now what most people know, and that's four, what they're familiar with. Isaac Luria proposed a fifth world of Adam Kadmon, above the worlds of the Sefirot. But within the worlds of the Sefirot, the ten Sefirot, the tree of life, Etz Chaim, there were four worlds. And those worlds were named, from the top going down, the world of Atzilut, emanation, nearness, the world of Berea, creation, the world of the throne or the chariot, Yetzirah, the world of formation, also known as the world of the angels, centered mostly around the angel Metatron, and the world of Asiya, the world of making, doing, the world of action. And this is the world of man. Now, in the beginning, all of these worlds were spiritual. There was no physicality. There was no time. It was eternal. Everything was eternal. And there was no space or mass, or matter. No space or matter. There was no place. No, the concept of time and place did not exist, except in the mind of God. But it was not yet manifest. Okay. The original Torah for this original condition was the Torah Kaduma, which means primordial Torah, the first Torah, the Torah prior to the world. This was the Torah Da'atzilut. That's another name for it. The spiritual Torah. The Torah of the world of Atzilut. Okay? The world of emanation, the world of nearness to God. So the Torah Kaduma was the same thing as the Torah Da'atzilut, the spiritual Torah. So the primordial Torah equals the spiritual Torah. And this is the Torah that resides in Sefira Hakma, in the world of Atzilut. Hakma is wisdom. And this is what's referred to in Proverbs 3, and I believe 4, as the consort of God, as the companion of the master craftsman. Thus, it's the blueprint by which God, who's the master craftsman, made all the worlds and revealed himself or manifest himself to those worlds. Okay, that was the original condition. That was the primordial condition. All the worlds, all four of the worlds were spiritual. And the Torah was spiritual. And man was wholly spiritual. Adam and Eve had no physical bodies. Now, we talked about this before, so I won't keep going into it. They were totally spiritual and they were eternal, immortal. Now, what happens? Leria teaches about the Shevaret HaKalim, the shattering of the vessels. All of the worlds, except, and I won't get into the mechanism of what causes, we'll be doing that in the weeks to come. All the worlds except Olam, meaning world or universe, Atzilut, fell to a lower position. They all fell. What was left of them fell. And Olam Asiya, the world of making, the world of man, fell into the abyss, what's known as the abyss, the deep pit, Maha Marat, into the deep abyss. Mahamara, the great abyss, Mahamara. Okay. And when he did so, when the world of Asiya fell into the abyss, taking man with it, everything there took on a physical form and a temporal form. So the world and Adam were exiled from Gan Eden, which Gan Eden is another word or metaphor, the Garden of Eden, for the universe of Atzilut. And they took on physical and temporal form. And also, the Torah was exiled with man. And so it took on a physical and material form. And that's what the sage Rabbi Avraham Azalei of Hebron is talking about when he says the Torah was clothed in a material form, exactly like man. He said this is the basic principle. Okay? And I'm talking now about how this happened. Okay? Now, what happened next? God redeemed the worlds of Berea and Yetzirah, the worlds of creation and formation, the world of the throne, the world of the angels, raising them up to their former heights. But God did not redeem the world of man, the world of Asiya, of making. Okay? That is the world that we are in. We are still in the abyss. We are still in the Mahamara, the great abyss, the deep pit. He left that to us. This is the tikkun, the spiritual repair that God has assigned to man as his avodah, his divine service. He left this to us. This is the small. He did the most work. He did the lion's share. He did God's share of the work of repair by repairing and purifying and perfecting the worlds of Berea, creation, and Yetzirah, formation, and raising them up to their former positions. He left undone, however, the raising up, the purification, the perfection, the repair, the redemption of the world of Asiya, the world of action, the temporal material world. Now, what does this mean? If you think about it, what does this repair mean? It means converting this world from a world that is material and temporal, physical and temporal, to a world that is spiritual. How on earth can man do this? Oh, boy. Boy, howdy. Is that a question? Well, we will. That's the whole subject of Kabbalah. In a nutshell, there it is. How do we do that? How do we repair this world, taking it from its position in Mahamara, the great abyss, where everything's physical and temporal, into a world where everything is spiritual and eternal? That's the great work. That's the divine service for which man was made. And that's the subject of Kabbalah, as much as, probably more than anything else. And it's something that we all study, and it's something that God reveals to us as we go along. Okay, now, moving along here. God redeemed the two worlds of Berea and Yetzirah, but he did not redeem the world of Asiya, leaving that as the divine mission or avodah of man. Okay? Now, in this lower world, the world of Asiya, the world of action, the world in which man exists, is this world is contained where? On the Sephirotic tree, the holy tree of life, the Etz Chaim. It is located within Sephira Malkut of Yetzirah. In this lower world is the tree, this lower world is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, versus the tree of life, which is located in Tiferet. Okay, because of that, we experience, because the tree of knowledge of good and evil was separated by the sin of Adam from the tree of life in Tiferet, that means the shattering of the vessels, the falling down of the world of Asiya, and not having been raised up like the other two worlds. Okay? Because we exist under the sway, the province of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is why we experience life and death and good and evil. Evil being what? The Sitra Achra, the other side. And it's all around us. Just look at your life. Look at everything going on in the world today. Look at everything going on in the world all through history. Become a student of history if you're not already. Things are no better today than they were when Cain picked up the stone and threw the stone at his brother Abel because lusted after Abel's wife, and that stone slashed Abel's throat and his blood spilled into the ground from which it cried up to God. Things are no better now than then. In fact, they're probably a good deal worse. So, we are truly in Mahamara, the great abyss, the deep pit. And evil is all around us, but so is good. We have the capability of choosing between good and evil. The Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, and the Yetzer HaTov, the good urge. And not only do we have the capability of choosing between them, we have the capability of accomplishing, acquiring, achieving that choice through our actions. Hence, we're in the world of Asiya, the world of action. If we choose good, the world is spiritually repaired. If we choose evil, the world sinks further into the abyss. Now, do you see how it is that we repair this world? We transform it from a world of materiality and temporality into a world of spirituality and eternality? This is how. Through our choices between good and evil. Fortunately, we're not abandoned here. God has given us the Shekinah to accompany us. His divine presence is with us to strengthen us and to spread her wings out over us as a canopy of peace and to protect us from evil. And God has also given us the Torah. The Torah is what? As we've taught before, it's made up of the letters of His holy name to help us. They exist. They form our armor. The letters of the Torah, of His holy name, are the cinctures of letters that enclose us as God's armor. So He's given us the Torah. But because the world shattered and fell, this Torah that he gave to us took on a material form. What Torah are we talking about? It's the written Torah that was given to us through Moses on Sinai. Okay? Where does it reside? It resides in Sefirah Teferet, which is held, kept, possessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Sefirah Teferet. This Teferet, okay, now listen carefully to this, is not in one world alone. The Holy One, blessed be He, spans two worlds, the worlds of Berea and Yetzirah. Okay? Those two worlds overlap. And where they overlap is the seat of the immanent God within it, within. The beauty of Israel, the God of Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy King Messiah. Okay? But these two worlds, this domain of Teferet, is above the domain of ordinary man who is in the world of Asiya. Thus, to the ordinary man, all that is revealed in the written Torah is the law and the ordinances to be followed. This is what I talked about just a little bit earlier, being the Torah of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the Torah de Berea, the Torah of remaking of the covenant, the Torah of instruction to recreate, the remaking of what? The remaking of man. Man who sinned at the base of Sinai, who went from being a spiritual being once again, wearing the armor of God, the holy letters of the name of God. And Moses is up on Sinai, and God is giving him the Torah de Atzilut. And they were prepared to receive it. But then, because of the evil influence among them from the people of Egypt that they brought with them when they left, and this is Moses' mistake, because he thought they would make good proselytes or converts, but because of their evil influence, their inability to give up their gods of evil, and one of their main gods' name was what? Set. Which in the Egyptian panoply, the panoply of Egyptian gods, was the god of evil. Because of this, Samael, it's just another name for Samael, they influenced the Israelites, and they began worshiping the golden calf. And so they were then, the impure spirit was upon them. The filth of Samael was there. And so God had to take that away. Moses comes down, he sees it, he throws the tablets down and breaks them. And after things go on, he goes back up to God, and God says, thou didst well to break the tablets. And he gives them the new Torah de Berea, the Torah of remaking, the remaking of the Israelites. They had to be remade. They were not fit for the pure Torah, because they were impure. Okay? So, man is instructed and purified through following the 613 mitzvot, the laws and the rules, the prohibitions, and the requirements. But concealed within the written Torah are deep secrets and mysteries. To interpret these mysteries, God revealed to us His oral Torah. It's located within the Sefirah Teferet of the world or the universe of Asiya, and it's in Malkut, which is shown on the diagram of the tree. That's where the world of Asiya is Malkut. Okay, it's Malkut of Yetzirah is Teferet of Asiya. Okay, Malkut of Yetzirah is the Sefirah Teferet of Yetzirah. Okay, the esoteric teachings of Kabbalah, mysticism, and Merkabah, or chariot mysticism, reveal the secrets of the Torah of the tree of life. Okay, so when we study these teachings, the mysteries and the secrets of the written Torah the oral Torah, the mysteries and secrets that are revealed through the oral Torah, we learn the mysteries and secrets of the tree of life, which is in Tiferet. The tree of life is in Tiferet. The oral Torah and the tree of knowledge of good and evil are both located in Malkut. And the oral Torah, the esoteric teachings of it, are the key that unlocks the mysteries and secrets of Sephira Tiferet. And when we study these teachings, we are raised up to higher levels of being. We return closer to the level of being spiritual beings that the Israelites were prior to the worshiping of the golden calf, when they stood at the foot of Sinai awaiting the spiritual Torah d'Atzilut. What does this mean? It means that we are awakened from the condition of sleep, being under the spell of the body, under the hypnosis and illusions of the material world, which the Hindus call Mara, illusions, Mara of the world. We become, when this happens, not only are we enlightened, and this is the choosing of enlightenment over darkness. A person who chooses darkness is a person who is like an ostrich, who wants to keep his head in the sand, who doesn't want to wake up from the dream of life. Okay, but we want to wake up. We want enlightenment. We want to go beyond the world of illusions. We want to awaken. We want to see the truth that God has for us to see, the secrets and the mysteries. And when we do, we become Evadim Hashem. It cannot be helped. We become servants of God. What do? We begin to perform tikkunim, spiritual repairs, and ma'asim tovim, good works, in fulfillment of our avodah, our divine service. And when we do this, we repair this world, and we begin to transform this world from a world of physicality and temporality into a world of spirituality and eternality. And when we do enough of this, and what am I talking about doing here? I'm talking about raising up the holy sparks. These are the spiritual repairs. Raising up the holy sparks that are trapped, that fell during the shattering of the vessels, the Shevaret HaKalim, and were trapped in the world of Asiya, in the great abyss, the deep pit, Mahamara, by the evil shells. The holy sparks were trapped. And they are what represent, those evil shells are everything physical. They're mass. They're matter, which possesses the quality or attribute of mass. And so located in every rock is at least one holy spark, maybe many. No one knows this for sure. If they tell you they do, they're lying. Or perhaps God has revealed something to them. It is not for me to judge. In every plant is another type of holy sparks, and within every animal is another type of holy spark. But in speaking animals, which is what? What animals speak? It's mankind, isn't it? In mankind is the highest level of spark, holy spark, and that's a soul. That's the soul of Adam. That's the souls that fell with the soul of Adam, the souls that came forth from Adam, which did not manage to make it up to the Holy One, blessed be He, but fell into the abyss and have been taken captive by Adam de Belial, okay? The Adam of the abyss, okay? perhaps another name for the Antichrist. I really hesitate saying that, and so I'm going to take that back. Don't even concern yourself with that. But Adam Belial, which is a mere reflection of Adam Kadmon, the high Adam, the supernal Adam, the primordial Adam. Okay, this is the Adam that has sunk into the abyss by his sin. And you could say he's the evil Adam, the Adam who worships Samael. And with him, and when Adam sinned and fell into this, he carried with him, within his seed, the souls, a large number of souls. And these are the ones that are trapped. And they are trapped in the abyss. And they have to be raised up. And the Baal Shem Tov teaches us this, that we are to raise up all of these holy sparks. Well, these are the tikkunim that we do. And the ma'asim tovim are the good works that enable the Shekinah to retrieve these souls and carry with them in her arms. We free them up. She gathers them up according to the power she has given to us by our good works. Our good works are what? Are the things we do in the outer world. The raising up of the sparks we do in the inner world of our psyche. In the gates of imagination, in our heart minds. The things we do in the outer world are the helping of our fellow man, the seeking of justice in this world, and equity, a decent shot at life by the downtrodden and the poor. The things we do in the outer world are the good works, the ma'asim tovim, that are necessary. All of these things, the inner spiritual repairs and the outer social, economic, political repairs. These are the things that we do that is our avodah, our divine service to God as Evadim Hashem, servants of God. When we've done enough of this, then what happens? The soul of the Messiah, Mashiach ben David, the Messiah from the house of David, comes. And as we are taught by Rabbi Nathan of Gaza, the Messiah will restore the crown. I'm quoting now. The Messiah will restore the crown to its pristine glory, but his contemporaries will rise against him and blaspheme. Okay? This is talking about the last days, the days of the Messiah. The Messiah will restore the crown to its pristine glory. That means he will complete. He will complete. His advent will be the completion of all of the tikkunim, the spiritual repairs of the universe and the world and of mankind and of God. But prior to his doing it, his contemporaries will rise against him and blaspheme. And this is a reference to Shabtai Zvi, which I'm not going to get into any further than that right now. But, having said these things, there's plenty to think about here, and it completes our teaching for the time being on the Torah. Blessed be God for revealing these teachings and for placing them upon my tongue and upon my lips. And I praise God, and all of this is for the glory of God and for the unification of Him and His name and the glory of His kingdom. Amen, v'amen. So, until next time, this class will be rebroadcast tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, same room. And until next Monday, and I sure hope you come next Monday because we're going to start in on the next two classes will be a summary of Lurianic cosmogony, how the world came to be, how it was created, and how God manifests himself in it, and what our relationship is to the world, our place in the world, and what our job is. So I sure hope you come and bring your friends. Okay, between now and then, don't forget to remember God at least twice a day. Until we meet again, may you go from strength to strength. Zeigesund.